Step two is this: respond biblically to their struggles. And I want to give you real quickly, if you're a believing parent, and if you have a child that has gone away from the Lord, how we respond to that struggling, wayward, or even pagan child is so important to God. And for you, or if you know someone that's struggling, think about this. What comfort is there for parents when their children that they have raised for the Lord go away? And what hope can we have after all the years we loved them and earnestly prayed for them and read God's word to them and nurtured them in the ways of the Lord and sought to guide them as best as we could? What comfort can we have when they, for a period of time or for a long period of time, push that off and reject it? Well, here are some truths that God gives us that can comfort our hearts and the hearts of many parents that we will have opportunity to encourage. In fact, I will tell you that when I speak, in fact, I'll be at Word of Life in a few weeks speaking to this huge group of parents. And when I speak to them, did you know that this truth, what I call it, 12 precious truths wayward children teach us, causes, I watch and I see tears running down their faces. Because many people operate under the illusion of the perfect family. And they have lived and prayed and agonized and taught and nurtured. And they have an Esau in their family. You ever read about Esau in chapter 12 of Hebrews? He was a profane and godless person. And he would rather have a bowl of soup than time with God. And he lived for the outdoors and sports and immorality is what he lived for. Alone. He was kind of like a party man, a redneck, godless, profane fornicator is what the Bible calls him. And his parents labored over him, prayed over him, and sought God on their faces for him. And he wasn't interested and never was interested and turned totally away from the Lord. That doesn't mean his parents were wrong. It means that he is going to eternally answer for his choices. So, what are some truths that a wayward child can teach us? Number one, a wayward child is no surprise to God. Every day of our life, Psalm 139 says, and if you want to look at right again in the middle of your Bible, look at Psalm 139, how beautifully the Lord tells us this. He tells us in verse 16 that your eyes, David is saying back to the Lord, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, Psalm 139, verse 16, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Remember, when God looks at our life, God sees the end from the beginning, and God sees the whole life. And so, number one, a wayward child is no surprise to God. Every day of our life, even the darkest of days, he is already aware of. So Psalm 139 becomes a wonderful comfort to us that we know that God knows all about this. And by the way, he knows the ending. And that's why he prompts us to pray and ask us to be involved. But number two, a wayward child is an opportunity for God to see our response. Our response is what matters to God most. He is watching and waiting for what we will do, to whom we will turn, and when we will turn to him. Our God is glorified. The Lord wants us to seek him. He wants us to need him. He wants us, as I've told you many times, remember when I used to kick my firstborn son's bassinet just to see his arms come out? God wants us to reach out to him. And so God wants an opportunity to see our response. And sometimes a wayward child is one of the greatest ways God can see us utterly dependent on him. Because sometimes with children, you come to the point where there is nothing physically you can do. You cannot make them make right choices, godly choices. So you just pray. It's amazing to see the power of that kind of utterly helpless, dependent prayer. Thirdly, not only is a wayward child no surprise to God and an opportunity to see our response from God's perspective, but thirdly, a wayward child drives us to pray for what we may think is impossible. Do you remember Jeremiah 33:3? God says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. that seem impossible? Do you remember how Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened? God wants us to pray for things that we may think are impossible. And that would be their return of this wayward one to the Lord and to us. Some parents just consign it to forever, never changeable. And I always think of George Mueller. George Mueller, you remember the orphan guy I talked about a while back that raised thousands, tens of thousands of orphans? Did you know that George Mueller never saw his family come to the Lord? He was the oldest, and his brothers he prayed for 60 and 70 years. And one of them was saved the last week of Mueller's life, and the other two were saved after his funeral. You see, we should never give up, even when it looks impossible, our prayer. Fourthly, a wayward child opens to us a situation that only God can encourage us in times like this. I think of 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, when David was going through a time where his whole family was separated from him. They were captured by the Amalekites, and people were just falling apart, and they were all weeping and wailing. And that's sometimes how we feel. Do you know what 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, the last half of the verse says? But David encouraged himself in the Lord. There are points we come in our marriages and our families where we have nothing left to encourage us but the most important thing, and that's the Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, that God is the God of all comfort, and He will comfort us in all of our struggles with a comfort wherewith we can comfort others. And so sometimes when we have children that don't follow the Lord, it gives us a situation where God can encourage us, and only God. Fifthly, a wayward child fills us with hope. In fact, if you want to go to Romans 15, I want to show you this verse. It's one of those that is good to have underlined. Romans 15 and verse 13. And it says this, a wayward child can fill us with hope as we remember that God isn't ever through with us as long as we live. And it says in Romans 15, 13, now may the God of hope. What is hope? It's something we don't have at the present. We're hoping for it. It's something that we want, but it isn't yet a reality. And God is the God of hope, and He fills us with joy and peace in believing that we can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have a child that doesn't respond to God, we can be filled with hope as we remember that God is never through with us as long as we live. That's why He's the God of hope. That's why He's the God of new beginnings. That's why He's the God of the second chance. God is the God that continually keeps renewing and offering forgiveness. Remember, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and He commends His love toward us while we were still sinners. We should be filled with hope. As we remember, God isn't ever through with us, and neither is He ever through with our wayward child. He is the God of hope, Romans 15, 13. Sixthly, a wayward child reminds us we have a perfect Heavenly Father because we see our own imperfections reflected in our children. I like the last three verses of Matthew 6, where it talks about God as the perfect Father. And whenever we think of God as the perfect Father, all of us fathers think of how imperfect we are. And it's wonderful that a wayward child reminds us that God is perfect and we're not. Because so often we see our weaknesses magnified in our children. And when we see ourselves reflected back, it's so humbling, and it's such a reminder that we do have a perfect Heavenly Father. And number seven, a wayward child humbles us as we remember how often we have failed our children. Psalm 130 and verse 3 says, if God should mark iniquity, who should stand? And we should remember that. In fact, we were crossing the border, and you know how hard it is at the border. We were waiting for an hour and something to get out of Canada, and you know we had all those sensors at the American border and everything. And finally we pull up, and I tell the kids to all be calm and, you know, don't do anything that will make the border guard, take longer. And so I pulled out all these passports and handed them to him, and he went, whoa. They're even sitting in the order you handed them to me. So he started getting a little talkative, and I thought, oh. And so he says, what do you do for a living? I says, I teach. He says, what do you teach? I says, I teach the Bible. Where do you teach? I says, Calvary Bible Church of Kalamazoo. Ah, Bible Church. I thought, you're going way over the line here. You know, we're interrogating me. And so I was answering each question. He says, well, is that a good church? And I says, yes, it's a very good church. And he says, well, we have a Calvary church here in Sault Ste. Marie. And I says, wonderful. And, you know, and I was just trying to just keep answering his questions, knew whatever he said. And so he just looked at me and handed back the passport, says, you can go. And I heard a little voice from the back seat saying, Dad, he wanted you to witness to him. I thought, yeah, I'd get arrested for sharing a track with a government official. You know, who knows what the new State Department rules are. He was baiting me like we were baiting those fish, trying to arrest me. And they said, no, Dad, he wanted you to talk to him about the Lord. I thought, a wayward, well, this wasn't even a wayward child, reminds us how often we have failed. And I thought, isn't that how they think? That's the childlike faith. They look on everything as the Lord opening a door for ministry. When Dad thinks they're trying to trick me, you know, they just see it the way it should be. And a wayward child rebukes us, eighthly, because we expect so much obedience from our imperfect parenting, yet we ourselves give our Heavenly Father such imperfect obedience, even though His parenting was perfect. Our children should rebuke us that sometimes we expect perfection when we are so imperfect in our response to God. And that's why parenting is so important. It changes the parent as we see the challenge. In fact, one of the key verses is Ephesians 4:32, that we should be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving as God has forgiven us. And that applies to how we respond to our children, especially those who aren't responding to God. And that's why it says in Ephesians 6:4 that we are not to exasperate our children. And we should be very cautious about that because God does not exasperate us. Also, a wayward child makes us believe more and more each day that God is able to do what we could never do. God can touch their heart, soften their heart, and turn their heart back to Him. It says in Ezekiel 36:26 that God is in the heart transplanting business. God can give a new heart. God can give a new spirit. God can take away a stony heart. And we should always remember that God is able to do what we could never do. God can touch their heart and soften their heart. And also, number 10, a wayward child shows us God's never-ending grace. As every wave of fear and sorrow rolls over us, we find our feet firmly planted on the solid rock, as Psalm 40 says. That even when life is hard, we are on the rock, Christ Jesus, and no matter what happens, no matter how dashed or disappointed we may be, God says His never-ending grace is sufficient. Number 11, a wayward child reminds us there's no greater joy in life than seeing our children walk in the truth. That's what 3 John 1:4 says. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. And do you know what the other half of that verse is, the corollary to it? If there's no greater joy than seeing them walk in the truth, there's no greater sorrow in life. Nothing can cut deeper in a parent's heart than to see their own flesh and blood not follow God. And so a wayward child reminds us there's no greater joy. But the other end of the promise is there's no greater pain than when we see them not walking in the truth because we love them so much. Well, finally, and if you're in Romans, go to Hebrews with me, chapter 13. And here's our last verse, Hebrews 13. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews 13. Number 12, a wayward child challenges us to never give up on him or her. It says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, this past week I took the 120 teenagers through the Gospel by John, and one of the first things I did with them is I traced the 7 times Jesus says, I will never. Never, never. He said, if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. If you eat of me, you'll never hunger. If you follow me, you'll never thirst. If you follow me, you will never find anything but inexhaustible joy coming out. Here again, he says the same thing. I will never leave you. A wayward child challenges us to be like the Lord and never give up on them. You know, many years ago, in one of the darkest hours on my job as a dad, I sat with one of my children watching a movie. That's the only thing they wanted to do at that time in their life. And one line was clearly stated twice by Alfred the Butler to Master Bruce that will always stay etched in my mind. This is what he said. Bruce said, "So you've never given up on me yet?" To which the butler answered resoundingly, "Never." I thought, what a dumb movie. You know, what a worthless time to spend. And then I thought, but does my child know that? What a butler can say to this fictional character, do they know that's what I believe? I challenge you to say the same thing in your own heart, to your partner, and by your actions toward a wayward child all of your life. Never will I give up on you, for God will never give up on me, and I will never give up on you. Wayward children can teach us.